Spring into deals for seasonal savings. Shop select 1-pint annuals for just $1. Plus, get a free additional Cobalt 40-volt 2-amp-hour battery when you buy select Cobalt 40-volt trimmer and blower combo kit. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid at 5-6. Annuals offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on East 17th Avenue in Hutchinson.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff out there to talk about. We're going to take a second to get to Jimmy Kimmel and his defense of himself and media people defending him and then other things being said. Kimmel said something horrible. And of course, his version of an apology is no apology at all, and saying you misunderstood what I was saying, not the other way around. But we're going to wait on that. Like I said, we're going to do some other stuff first. President Trump welcomed the King of England and made some jokes about how his mom used to have a crush on King Charles. This is President Trump being funny, something that a lot of people in mainstream media refuse to admit is a thing. Let's go ahead and play this just to start the show.
Mother, I just see it so clearly. She loved, and I told the king this, she loved the royal family, and she loved the queen. And anytime the queen was involved in a ceremony or anything, my mother would be glued to the television, and she'd say, look, Donald, look how beautiful that is. She really did love the family, but I also remember her saying very clearly, Charles, look, young Charles, he's so cute. My mother. My mother had a crush on Charles. Can you believe it? Amazing how, I wonder what she's thinking right now.
That's genuinely funny. That's genuinely a funny way to welcome the King of England to the United States, to say my mom had a crush on you. And I'm just letting you know, his mother, of course, has passed away. And then he points to the sky and says, I wonder what she's thinking right now. That's great. That's not something that'll be at all highlighted by anyone who hates Trump. But I just thought it was a fun way to start the show. Also, this is a good piece of news. The Quality Learning Center in Minneapolis, the one that misspelled learning kind of infamously now, when Nick Shirley went and knocked on the door there, it's been raided because, well, of course, it should have probably been raided a while ago. Here's some breaking news coverage of that.
Large-scale raids targeting federal fraud currently underway. Federal agents seen leaving the Quality Learning Center. And Brooke Taylor has more on that and what they're looking for. Brooke, good morning.
Brooke, good morning.
Hi, Bill. Good morning. Yeah, we have had a photographer there at the daycare since this morning, capturing video of those federal agents just going in and out of the building, collecting evidence as part of the DOJ's fraud investigation in Minnesota. Take a look at this video here. Sources tell Fox that federal agents are raiding about 22 businesses across Minneapolis this morning.
Finally, by the way, the video that she was saying for you to take a look at, since it's radio and you can't see it, is just federal agents doing the raiding part of a whole bunch of places, specifically the Learing Center, which is what I'm going to keep calling it because that's what the sign said for a long time. I remember when Nick Shirley went there and then some of the people who owned the place came out and got mad at him for being there. One of the things they said is like, how dare you? We weren't operating. It was not even normal business hours when you came and checked on us, I think in the middle of the day during the week. That's not our business hours. We work later in the night or some sort of excuse. Well, now it's been raided. And I imagine if we find out that a lot of terrible things happened, that eventually you'll hear from somebody saying that, you know what, this is the exception, not the rule, even though we're fairly certain we've discovered the rule here. All right, let's do it. Let's talk about Jimmy Kimmel. Kimmel made a disgusting joke in which he said Melania Trump looked like an expectant widow. Kimmel has now explained that joke on his program that he probably shouldn't have anymore. Melania and many people called for his firing. The president called for his firing because of how disgusting it is to make a joke like that. And a couple days later, have a gunman try to kill the president and any member of his staff. But here's how Kimmel explained it away. Remember, this is exactly what he did with Charlie Kirk after he made some really terrible jokes blaming Republicans or Republican supporters for being the people that killed Kirk, even though that absolutely wasn't true. and he should have known it. He probably did know it. He made jokes saying that it was them, meaning Republicans, who killed him. And then he didn't take it back. He said that it was misunderstood. But here he is again saying that his joke is just simply misunderstood.
A call to fire me from our first lady, Melania Trump, saying I should be fired because of a joke I made, again, 5 nights ago. It was a pretend roast. I said, our first lady, Melania, is here. Look at her, so beautiful. Mrs. Trump, you have a glow like an expectant widow.
Which, I can't believe they're laughing at
this. Obviously was a joke about their age difference and the look of joy we see on her face every time they're together. It was a very light roast joke about the fact that he's almost 80 and she's younger than I am. It was not, by any stretch of the definition, a call to assassination. And they know that. I've been very vocal for many years speaking out against guns.
No, to be honest, this is ridiculous. And the reason it's so ridiculous is there's been two attempts already at the president of the United States. It's not like this was the first time someone tried to kill him. And if you're making a joke where you're being indirect and saying you look like an expectant widow, you're allowing the audience to decide what you mean. You're not saying the last part out loud. You're not even making a reference to the man's age by saying his age out loud. Essentially, within the joke, you're not contextualizing what you're trying to say. And you're doing that on purpose. Kimmel knows this. He knows that he left himself the out that he's now using, which is sort of ridiculous. It's a game that they play all the time. They want to blame the right for overreacting when they overreact constantly. To anything that the right says. They constantly call President Trump Adolf Hitler. And actually, there's a really amazing piece of audio. So let's just go ahead and get to that, too, here. This is an interview. Nicole Wallace talking to J.B. Pritzker out of Chicago, out of Illinois, I should say, about how nobody ever calls Trump Hitler. And then it's a montage of a whole bunch of Democrats calling Trump Hitler. So that rhetoric is the kind of rhetoric that they think is no big deal. How dare you? As I said, a whole bunch of people, celebrities, are also out there trying to defend Jimmy Kimmel and say he's just a comedian who made a joke, even if they actually think that that joke was about someone killing President Trump and not just his age. But nonetheless, here, I'll play this audio first, and then at some point, maybe later on in the show, we'll get to all the people disgustingly defending Kimmel, because of course they're doing that. But yes, absolutely, a whole bunch of Democrats have called Trump Hitler for quite some time now.
I haven't suggested that Donald Trump is Hitler. I wouldn't say
I don't
that
think any Democrat has. I actually think it's a smear that they project back on to critics.
What is the natural extension, Justin, if he pursues this to Harvard and beyond?
There was an authoritarian leader several decades back called Adolf Hitler. Hitler came to power and the scientists left.
The military survive in that climate.
In the same way that it happened in Russia with Stalin, the same way it happened with Hitler, eventually you get generals and admirals that are in there that only tell the leader what he or she wants to hear.
To the extent that the rule of law and an assault on the rule of law was an obscure, intangible thing, we're now seeing it in action.
If you look back in history, you can see very similar parallels taking place that took place in other countries that really went down that authoritarian road, including in pre-World War II Nazi Germany when Hitler and...
You get the idea. This was guest after guest on Nicole Wallace's show with questions that she's setting up to ask them, saying that they think that Trump is becoming Hitler. And this is just that version of proof that they absolutely say this, because a whole bunch of other Democrats on their own, not on Nicole Wallace's TV show, say this sort of thing. It's disgusting that they pretend they don't say it whenever their hand is caught in the cookie jar, to say it kind of a maybe not so great way, because they absolutely call for violence. Hakeem Jeffries, who is defending himself, saying that even though he had recently described the current situation we're in as one that calls for maximum warfare all the time, that you should have understood what he meant, and he stands by this. Now, I'll tell you something really important, and I'll say it before I hit play on this audio. I am someone who often defended what conservatives would say as saying it's just simply political rhetoric, that, you know, when someone like Caroline Leavitt says shots will be fired at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, of course she meant jokes that were going to be at the expense of media, that Trump was absolutely going to have a pointed speech that he was going to give and criticize media. she didn't believe that someone was going to come in and actually shoot people with a gun. But they're using that now as some sort of equivalent to what Kimmel did. But I absolutely do believe in the First Amendment right, your right to say things, not to blame you for someone being a crazy, deranged lunatic who does horrible things. I've often said that. And yet they so often reject that idea. They so often fight that narrative on the left that when you catch them in the act, the thing that makes them hypocrites, it is so difficult to not call it out, to not look at them and say, look at this ridiculous thing you were claiming you believed happened that now you must actually be causing. And when you actually see data that says that just 3% of conservatives think that political violence is okay, but 25 to 30 something percent, depending on how you evaluate it, liberals think it's okay for political violence, that's obviously disgusting. And that obviously means this rhetoric is working, that they're changing the opinions of their constituents to believe, hey, we're fighting Nazi Germany and Hitler, so maybe violence is okay. That's their message to their people while shouting it down on the other side, a pretty typical political playbook. But here's Hakeem Jeffries saying he stands by his call for maximum warfare.
As it relates to anything that has been said, certainly as it relates to the comment related to maximum warfare everywhere, all the time, in connection with the redistricting battle that Republicans launched. I stand by it. You can continue to criticize me for it. I don't give a damn about your criticism.
Yeah, there you go. Good old Hakeem Jeffries saying that he doesn't care about your criticism at all. And go ahead and keep doing it. And he'll just keep saying maximum warfare all the time while people are literally trying to kill the current president of the United States. It's insane. They have to choose which path they're on. The path where they think that political rhetoric can incite violence and then they stop doing it. Or they think it can't and then they stop being so mad at Trump and think that he's a Nazi. Because literally that's the worst thing he does to them is he says stuff out loud. He doesn't actually take action in the ways they accuse him of potentially taking action. The worst thing he does is put messages up on Truth Social. So are words weapons? Yes or no? Pick a lane on Democrats. Quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
All right, folks. So I want to tell you about something that actually works. This is the world's number one expanding garden hose and their newest upgrade. It's the Pocket Hose Ballistic. I like anything that has the word ballistic after it. I don't have time for cheap, stupid equipment that fails after one season. I am done fighting with it. I'm done with the kinks, Eric Swalwell. I'm done with the tangles. I'm done with the leaks. I'm done with all of it. It's a waste of money. It's enraging. So that's why the Pocket Hose Ballistic, that's why you need to have this thing because it's built different. I could beat somebody to death with this. It's reinforced with a liquid crystal polymer. Now, you don't know what that is, but you do know what it's been used in before, bulletproof vests. So that means, my friends, the strength is real. Real durability, no nonsense. It's not going to mess up your garden. It's not going to like tie a knot around you. If you're tired of replacing your cheap hose every year, this is your fix. The ballistic is lightweight. It's super easy to handle. And I like what comes with it. It comes with the pocket pivot. So no more fighting the spigot. And ladies, it's gold. Where it moves, you move, you move, it moves. It's so simple. It's smart. You're done. For a limited time, when you purchase a new pocket hose ballistic, you're going to get that free, you see it right here, 360-degree rotating pocket pivot and a free thumb drive nozzle. Just text Dana to 64300. That's Dana to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
When Kohler, the global design leader in luxurious kitchen and bath products, came to me and said, Martha, we need an ambassador for our timeless, elegant, durable cast iron products. I said, I'm in. Now let me see the factory. Weeks later, I was suited up in coveralls and work boots, walking through their Kohler, Wisconsin cast iron foundry. I stood next to the molten iron furnace, saw the hand applying enamel, and touched the gorgeous finished products waiting to be sent out into the world. Since 1883, Kohler cast iron products have been forged and finished by the incredible craftspeople right in Kohler, Wisconsin. I'll tell you, I gained a newfound respect and appreciation for Kohler's cast iron craftsmanship. So now, I'm lending my discerning stamp of approval to my most beloved Kohler cast iron products for their durability, beauty, and timelessness. Shop my Kohler cast iron favorites curated on Kohler.com. Bring the warmth, character, and enduring style of these timeless products into your kitchens and bathrooms. As the Kohler cast iron ambassador, I say, long live cast iron.
One thing about the locker room, it's a mix of everything. Different races, religions, backgrounds, opinions, all of it. And yeah, you argue, you joke around, you disagree constantly. But when it actually matters, you've got each other's backs. No question. That's just being a good teammate. And honestly, that shouldn't stop when the game ends. But right now, hate is rising across communities in different ways. And Jewish communities are getting hit hard by it. And hate doesn't stay in one place. It spreads. So this isn't about agreeing on everything. It's just about showing up for people. The Blue Square is a simple way to do that. Just saying, yeah, I'm not cool with hate. Go to bluesquarealliance.org, grab one, share it. It's not complicated. Just be the kind of teammate you'd want in your corner.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. D Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter. Great ways to stay connected to her at Radio Craig C. If you want to follow me for some reason, I would love to have you there. Let's do this. Let's play audio of the Department of Justice indicting a senior advisor that was for a long time connected to Dr. Anthony Fauci. Fauci has his sweet deal that he got from the former president of the United States and or whoever was actually signing any of those auto pen things that were happening that allows Fauci to be immune to a lot of this prosecution, but not the people connected to him, which who knows? Maybe something here could actually get around some kind of pardon. But let's go ahead and hit play on some of the audio of the Department of Justice indicting a longtime senior advisor connected to Dr. Fauci.
A former top advisor to Dr. Anthony Fauci now facing criminal charges. This over an alleged cover-up involving research into the origins of COVID. Rich Edson on this story. Intriguing, Rich. What you find out there in Washington?
Now, By the way, I do love that intro. Intriguing. What did you find out about all these COVID lies that we all thought were happening the entire time this was going on?
Well, the Justice Department has charged David Morins, a doctor, with conspiracy, claiming he concealed federal records to counter evidence that COVID-19 may have leaked from a lab in China, all to help restore a controversial Shocking. Coronavirus grant. Morins, a former aide to Dr. Anthony Fauci, testified before the House's COVID Select Subcommittee nearly 2 years ago about emails he'd sent in February 2021, claiming that he'd learned to make emails disappear after he received Freedom of Information Act requests.
Ever delete or attempt to delete a federal record?
No, but let me explain why. When I came there in 1998, we were instructed to delete emails and or to move them into PST files frequently because they jammed the computer.
I love that answer, by the way. We had to delete the emails, just like Hillary Clinton had to take bleach and you know, battle axes to some of her servers. Because essentially they also, you just have to clean them up. You got to make them ready for the next people. But yes, a longtime colleague of Dr. Anthony Fauci, who we all assumed was lying to us when so many of them seemed like they were lying to us, has at least been caught. We'll see what that ends up doing, what, you know, additional dominoes fall and how high the dominoes go. Unfortunately, pardons are very likely to be what's protecting Fauci from any of this himself. Now, I do want to play a couple other things. This is interesting to me. This is Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, being very happy about the World Cup. It'll actually be played in Jersey, not in New York at all. I do like that some people on X wanted to make that contextual piece of information valuable, that MetLife is not actually in New York City. But anyway, Kathy Hochul very excited and saying some dumb things.
There's no better place on this planet than to be watching the World Cup than here in New York City, because we have every community around the globe represented. Think about the Ecuadorian community in Jackson Heights, what this means to them. The Senegalese community in Harlem, the Haitian community in Flatbush. This is everything to them. It's going to lift them out of their day-to-day experiences and transport them to a place of unity and excitement shared by billions across the globe. So I want to say, New York isn't just hosting the World Cup. New York is the World Cup.
It makes no sense. That's a uniquely dumb thing. New York isn't just hosting. They're not hosting at all, actually. As I said, New Jersey is. But they are the World Cup. We live and breathe it. And I love the part she said in the middle, where she's like, these people whose day-to-day lives probably are terrible, they're going to be lifted up from their awful, terrible lives. This sounds inherently racist, if I'm being honest. That's the thing that the woke left would check someone on the right for saying. I want to play it again as she's referencing all the different ethnicities that are going to be thrilled to see the World Cup and lift it out of whatever the terrible things that are their regular day-to-day lives.
Community around the globe represented. Think about the Ecuadorian community in Jackson Heights, what this means to them. The Senegalese community in Harlem, the Haitian community in Flatbush. This is everything to them. It's going to lift them out of their day-to-day experiences and transport them to a place of unity and excitement.
I love that. She's basically saying, like, their lives are terrible. We all know it. We don't have to say it out loud, but we all know it's true. And this is going to lift them up. This is going to make them just a little bit happier for a short amount of time if they can afford tickets, which truthfully, if the people are living in the types of situations that Kathy Hochul seems to assume they're living in, I'm assuming tickets would be difficult for people that are in challenging situations. But hey, it doesn't matter. Lift it up in general, because the game is going to be played across the water, across the bridge and tunnel from any of you. All right. Other things out there. Gavin Newsom and his wife continue to make the news. They continue to do viral videos of crazy stuff. I love that this went viral. It's old. It's something that had happened in the past. But Gavin Newsom's wife, First Lady, First Karen of California, as they're calling her, which is hilarious, wanted to make sure and scold the media for not asking enough questions on Women's Day about women, darn it.
Now, we just find it incredulous that we have Planned Parenthood here, and women are 51% of the population. And the majority of the questions, all of these questions, have really been about other issues. So it's just fascinating. You have this incredible Women's Caucus and all these allies, and you're not asking about it. And this happens over and over and over.
We don't matter. How dare you? Jennifer doing her thing, her typical thing. I think more and more, both Gavin and the person that he's going to campaign with, because it seems like she's going to be on the campaign trail quite a bit, are showing how unelectable they both are. And it seems like it's a package deal, nonetheless. You can't have one without the other. All right, let's finally do some of the audio of people defending Jimmy Kimmel. There were multiple people coming out there saying that it's just jokes, that Melania Trump is overreacting. Again, someone who had a shooter way too close to the ballroom that they were in, even though he was stopped, thankfully. But he got way too close to them. And then Melania Trump thinks about the expectant widow joke that Kimmel made. Kimmel has since tried to explain it away as being not about someone killing Trump, which wasn't obvious in the joke to begin with, and I don't think is true. But nonetheless, now there's a bunch of people, Clooney among them, Gayle King, one of the others, saying this. I think even Jake Tapper of CNN, all coming to the defense of Kimmel. Remember, this is the same side of the aisle that is irate at the fact that Trump uses a social media platform to say things. That some things are jokes, other things cannot be.
Jimmy's a comedian, and I would argue that Caroline Leavitt didn't mean shots should be fired. Right, she was making a joke. Fair enough. So I look at that side and go, well, jokes are jokes. But the rhetoric, I think, is a little dangerous. And we've seen it a lot lately. Yeah.
It seems like on Saturday night, there was an opportunity for a moment of unity between the press and the current administration. Do you have faith that that might happen in the next couple of years?
I always have faith in the press. I always believe in it. I'm the son of a journalist, you know. I believe in, I also think that you're not supposed to have a good relationship with government. You're supposed to be questioning them, you know.
I love the one-sidedness of the answer. He goes, do you think there's any chance that maybe the press could do some things differently and make Trump not feel like every moment, all the time, everything they say is negative and has to be negative, and they don't cover anything positive about him? That extending of the olive branch can come to the other side, and yet Clooney doesn't see that at all. He's like, no, of course, the press deserves to be angry and say terrible things about Trump all the time. That's their job. And then also, you know, I have faith in just them. I don't believe anything that Trump will do is right. That's just one person defending Clooney and the press in general, I guess. Here's another.
The joke was made before the Correspondents' Dinner. Jimmy Kimmel's not some crazy person who would wish the president to be killed. That's He just would not do that.
Yeah, there's no way that Kimmel would ever say anything like that at all, even though it seems that time and again, when you go back into the audio, you find moments where he makes jokes about shooters missing President Trump. Here, one more version of this audio. Jake Tapper also coming to the defense of Kimmel.
It is a big problem of calls for violence and dehumanization, and it's getting worse. But it is not a problem to be wielded like a cudgel to try to stop journalism or jokes. Journalism and jokes are not calls for violence. Calls for violence are calls for violence. And far too many Americans in positions of power and influence are too blasé and too glib about those who make them.
Yeah, I got to be honest again. This is the I'm going to have my cake and eat it, too. I'm going to decide in the moment if I agree with something or if I'm in the opposite, fence on this one because it's convenient for me. It's not actually a belief system. I have no core beliefs. I have no values that I follow if you're someone on the left who's saying these sort of things, because you can't possibly defend yourself. And how many times you've gotten so mad at Trump and the things he said, and then also defend stuff like this. You just can't have it both ways. And yet they assume that they can, because, and I'll say it again, I say it a lot, they think you're stupid. The biggest problem I have a lot of problems. The biggest problem I have with the left is that they just assume stupidity from the people who follow them. They think they can leave out certain data points. You won't ever check on them. And sadly, they're right. There's a lot of useful idiots out there who just spit out talking points. But that's one of the things that should be most offensive to your own side of the aisle. If Democrats see their party treating them like morons who need to have everything curated specifically for them, Big Brother style, they should be upset about it. I shouldn't be the one telling people on the left to be mad that their side is so hypocritical and so willing to, as I said, ignore certain facts so that narratives work for them. They just don't care. And they just never expect you to actually believe that they're lying to you as they lie. And so I think that's truthfully the first separating factor is by and large, when I talk to someone who votes on the conservative side of the aisle, I usually hear them say that they check sources a little more often. It's just a common, for some reason, distrust of the media has gotten to the point where people on one side actually go a step further and the other side, for some reason, go, I'm not sure if I can trust that, but I'm not going to check any deeper anywhere else. One last thing that I'll play, and this is a great example of the left just assuming you're an idiot. This is Joy Reid trying to say that she thinks the White House Correspondents' Dinner attack was staged. She also still thinks the shot that killed someone in Butler, Pennsylvania was staged, which is disgusting. But here, I'll play this audio, and you can judge for yourself how much intelligence this person has, if she's low IQ, as Trump would say, or if she's also just assuming that everyone listening to her is going to be as low IQ as possible.
Don't ask any questions, even though there's just odd things that keep happening around Trump. And we know that Viktor Orban allegedly, according to Washington Post reporting, there was a plot by the Russians to stage an assassination, fake assassination for Orban. So all of this throws in together. You're like, when something seems too perfect, people, they don't believe in it. And Donald Trump now again gets victimized by an alleged would-be assassin in front of the perfect witnesses.
She puts out there that he gets victimized and she's putting her hands up saying that it's not true, that all of this is so obviously fake. And by the way, I love when she says the perfect audience because she's in the media, however slightly she's in the media, that would likely reject all of the things that Trump would say after this. It's not the perfect audience to be sitting there with members of the press if you're Donald Trump. Shockingly, that's actually the worst possible audience for news to occur and for them to tell the true version of events to the American people. They wouldn't do that. So every part of it is ridiculous. And the conspiracy theories that they accuse your uncle who's on, his ex account, reading the QAnon stuff of believing the left believes more and more of these things on their side all the time. And they talk about it all the time and think that this is different. That other time when they were mad about the conspiracy theories they thought they heard on the right, that was, fake. Of course, this is us being smarter than everybody else in the room. A quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
As we move, the folks who help make the program possible, it is our friends over at Byrna Gun. I've told you a million times till I'm almost tired of saying it. I always carry, and I don't care about putting holes in something. I just really don't. If you're threatening me, I'll do it, and I'll go to sleep at night, sleep like a baby.
on my ghost bed. It'll be amazing. So here's the thing with Bernegun. This is a great option if you're like a college kid or if you have to go to places where municipal or private property restrictions take away your, try to eliminate your right of Second Amendment self-defense. These places never provide armed security either. That's the thing that gets me. So what are you going to do? Because you have to protect yourself. You need to be able to have something for safety. And this is why it's important to diversify your defensive array. The Byrna CL, they make different models, disregard all of them except for this one. Compact Launcher CL, that's what it stands for. The Byrna CL is roughly the size of an iPhone. There's no target acquisition. And when you can, unlike stun guns or tasers, they only have one or two rounds. This is a 15-round shot capacity per cartridge. What does it do? It shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can deter threats from up to 50 feet away. And here's the kicker, no background check. There is no extra fee, no tax stamp, none of that. You order it online, they ship it right to your door because it's not a gun. So it doesn't care about gun-free zone signs because it's not a gun. None of those things apply to it. So this is a way to make sure you're still protected when other people are trying to make it to where you are not so. And it's right made right here in the U.S. of A. Visit Byrna.com/Dana and get your Byrna CL today. That's Byrna.com/Dana ready when you are.
When Kohler, the global design leader in luxurious kitchen and bath products, came to me and said, Martha, we need an ambassador for our timeless, elegant, durable cast iron products. I said, I'm in. Now let me see the factory. Weeks later, I was suited up in coveralls and work boots, walking through their Kohler, Wisconsin cast iron foundry. I stood next to the molten iron furnace, saw the hand applying enamel, and touch the gorgeous finished products waiting to be sent out into the world. Since 1883, Kohler cast iron products have been forged and finished by the incredible craftspeople right in Kohler, Wisconsin. I'll tell you, I gained a newfound respect and appreciation for Kohler's cast iron craftsmanship. So now, I'm lending my discerning stamp of approval to my most beloved Kohler cast iron products for their durability, beauty, and timelessness. Shop my Kohler cast iron favorites curated on Kohler.com. Bring the warmth, character, and enduring style of these timeless products into your kitchens and bathrooms. As the Kohler cast iron ambassador, I say, long live cast iron.
One thing about the locker room, it's a mix of everything. Different races, religions, backgrounds, opinions, all of it. And yeah, you argue, you joke around, you disagree constantly. But when it actually matters, you've got each other's backs. No question. That's just being a good teammate. And honestly, that shouldn't stop when the game ends. But right now, hate is rising across communities in different ways. And Jewish communities are getting hit hard by it. And hate doesn't stay in one place. It spreads. So this isn't about agreeing on everything. It's just about showing up for people. The blue square is a simple way to do that. Just saying, yeah, I'm not cool with hate. Go to bluesquarealliance.org, grab one, share it. It's not complicated. Just be the kind of teammate you'd want in your corner.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter. A great ways to stay connected to her, at Radio Craig C, if you want to follow the fill-in dude for the day. Dana is back tomorrow. I thought this was an interesting piece of audio that Fox put out. A breaking news alert, a reporter asking the Secret Service director about how confident he is in the good job done by his agents during the White House Correspondents' Dinner and the attempted assassination of anybody in the room down a set of stairs, including, of course, the main target being the president of the United States. But the shooter wanted to take out anyone within the administration. Secret Service stopped him. One Secret Service member was shot, but survived because of a bulletproof vest. So right now, there's two versions of conversation. One is, why wasn't there a larger perimeter? Why weren't there more obstacles in the way of someone wanting to try to do harm than just one obstacle before a staircase? Like, why was it this close? Basically is the easiest way to say it. And there are people like the director of the Secret Service saying, we did our job and we did it the right way. And we know why we did it. And we're not going to tell you. But we'd do it the same if we had a chance to do it all over again.
Confident in the job of your agency, anything to change the security posture
great
going
job.
Forward?
My agents did a great job.
Why wasn't the security perimeter further out?
There's a reason, but I'm not going to get into that. It's classified on why we did that.
There we go. Secret Service reaction to the dinner on Saturday night. You see on the big board up here, that was that moment when he streaked by the Secret Service on the closed caption camera there at the Hilton. So from the White House.
Okay. I'll stop it there. You do see a person in the video that you can't see because this is radio, and I'm sure a lot of people have watched it by now. I'll run straight through a security checkpoint by a lot of individuals. They all wind up running and chasing him. Again, this individual was stopped. They didn't get to the staircase down to the actual ballroom to harm the people inside the ballroom, which included our president and vice president. And there have been questions about why both of them were in that same room at that time. All of these can be fixed by a White House ballroom, by the way. If we actually had a ballroom in the most secure building in the country, one in which it would be much, much harder for someone to only set up one checkpoint, much less attack one. This is AG, Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche, saying that we want the ballroom. We want it real bad. We're not going to stop wanting it, especially after this.
Thank you for taking my question. You personally have called for a construction of this ballroom at the White House. The president has called for this as well. Today, the National Trust president put out a statement, says that they're grateful that everybody's okay. But, and I quote, we are not planning to voluntarily dismiss our lawsuit, which endangers no one, and which respectfully asks the administration to follow the law. Ballroom construction is continuing unabated until June 5th at the earliest because the injunction is on hold. Where does the Justice Department go from here? And then I have a follow-up on that.
Well, we filed a motion today asking the court to do what the plaintiffs refused to do. We absolutely believe that there is no better example of why this ballroom is necessary. Aside from all the very positive things the ballroom will bring to this country and to Washington, D.C., than what happened on Saturday night. You guys, many of you all were there. That's one of the only places in D.C. that you can hold an event like that due to its size and the structure of what we need. So we're basically stuck at this point in the city with having an event like that at a hotel, so underneath a ton of hotel rooms. And so the fact that we, aside from the fact that the ballroom is spectacular, it's going to be beautiful, it's going to make this country look great every time it's used.
That last part I love a lot, and I left it in there because that's going to make Trump happy. By saying that it's spectacular, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, Trump's going to be like, yeah, that is the plan. But more so than that, it's important and it's protected and it's safe. And you don't want to use hotels where people who are deranged lunatics that want to hurt people can check in. They can be guests at the hotel and get that much closer to inevitably hurting people the way that this shooter got on Saturday. Another thing that I thought was really interesting, Jimmy Kimmel has been in the news again. Continuing his unapologetic version of making horrible jokes at the expense of the president or any conservative, whether that's after the death of Charlie Kirk making some disgusting jokes, or even, he claims he was not making a joke about expecting someone to try to kill Trump again, but that's absolutely what his joke sounded like. I'm not playing it on purpose while filling in on this show, but I did think this was interesting, a breaking news story about the FCC, the Federal Communication Commission, asking the Disney-owned television stations to, refile their license requests, their license renewals, way ahead of schedule, 100% tied to Jimmy Kimmel. Here's some of the breaking news.
He's younger than I am. It was not, by any stretch of the definition, a call to assassination. I understand that the First Lady had a stressful experience over the weekend, and probably every weekend is pretty stressful in that house. And also, I agree that hateful and violent rhetoric is something we should reject. I think a great place to start to dial that back would be to have a conversation with your husband about it.
Well, that's late night host Jimmy Kimmel defending himself from backlash, insisting he meant no harm when referring to First Lady Melania Trump as an expectant widow.
Uh-huh.
Now, the comment is coming 2 days before the third assassination attempt on the president's life. And this one was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. But not everyone considers those remarks to be jokes. The New York Post making this story today's cover page, referring to the talk host as a, quote, Kimwit. And today, a spokesman for First Lady Melania Trump doubled down on calls for Kimmel to be fired, telling the New York Post, quote, Our community should not tolerate violent political rhetoric at the expense of the First Family or any of our nation's political leaders, regardless of party affiliation. And Kimmel continues to play these disrespectful and dangerous games, knowing very well that he is protected by the ABC network.
And that is part of the Fox coverage, where they inevitably talk about how the FCC is now actually going to ask the Disney stations to refile for their broadcast license early. But this is, you get a contextual version of a discussion of what happened. It actually played the audio of Kimmel reacting to the calls for him, you know, to be fired, not actually the joke itself that he made, which I still don't want to play. But nonetheless, what I think is really important about this discussion is there will be people that will immediately react to the story of the FCC taking any action whatsoever that somewhat damages the parent company that owns Kimmel's show, even slightly, ever so slightly, by asking them to go through some additional paperwork earlier than they're supposed to go through it. They'll call for this to not happen. They'll say that this is a weaponization of, you know, the FCC against a journalist. They'll suddenly call Kimmel a journalist. When at other times, he's certainly a comedian. It depends on what version of a discussion you're having as to who they think he is and what his value is to society. But the most amazing thing to me is that I kind of think this is all just appropriate. Is that, yeah, if you're in charge of a show that's making jokes the way Kimmel has been making them consistently, getting yourself into a situation that kind of looks as though you're advocating for violence to happen, whether it's celebratory or not, it seems as though you're really calling for more violence in our society against the right, that maybe we should make sure that all those licenses are on the up and up and that this show is actually following any of the standards of our society, because it doesn't appear to be the case. And Kimmel continues to refuse to just apologize. He continues to want to reshape whatever the conversation is after the fact. And I absolutely think, and I guess it's a little hard to make this argument without playing the audio, but I really don't want to play it, that he left himself the out he's using now, the excuse he's using for what he meant the joke to be about, Donald Trump's age, and not the likelihood that someone would try to kill him for a third time. He left himself that out when he made the joke, because he did not demonstrate that it was about age within the actual, you know, program itself that's being questioned. He only used it as an explanation after the fact. So I think that he truthfully thought that far in advance when making the jokes he made on his show. I don't even like referring to them as jokes. But nonetheless, like, here's the real thing I should say. I feel like I might have said this yesterday, but I'm going to say it again today because I do think it matters. I know a lot of people that hate the right. I know them because I lived in Chicago for a long time, where a lot of people hate a lot of conservatives. They hate Trump. They hate everybody on that side. I still have friends on Facebook that I haven't unfriended that say this crazy, ridiculous stuff about how Trump's a Nazi and he's evil and all this. And all I keep thinking about, and I remember saying this after Charlie Kirk too, is how broken our society can be for people to feel righteous in this level of anger and to not have any of these moments wake them up. To not have any of these attempted things that happen in our society say, you know what, I've gone too far in my own hate, in my own life. Whatever it is I've done, maybe nothing, maybe the craziest thing I've done as a person who's also angry is put up a big post on social media that pales in comparison to someone trying to murder people at a White House Correspondents' Dinner. Of course it does. But nonetheless, I wonder if those moments of self-reflection that you think should happen in like a normal society, they occur constantly. People rethink their position when something in the real world demonstrates the next step in the evolution of how they're behaving. Like, what's one step removed from how I'm being right now if I were being a little bit more extreme? And it makes you pull yourself back. But not in this society. A lot of people push two different avenues. They push the road of, well, it's probably fake. I won't admit it. I won't see it. I won't look at it because I don't like the reality of it. And or it was deserved. Those are the two things you hear in response to this, and both are disgusting. And actually, I'll play one last piece of audio before we take a break. This is J.B. Pritzker being asked about his comments where he refers to Trump as a Nazi. And Pritzker's response is, the things I've said have been proven right. Unapologetic at all, disgusting in the response, and absolutely not true. But let's go ahead and play.
Some of your critics may point to what you said in the State of the State last year when you compared the Trump administration to the rise of Nazis. What would you say to that?
Well, Manu, remember what I was talking about was the fact that a constitutional republic was torn apart in 53 days in Germany in the 1930s, and that we need to watch out for that in this country. That is what I was talking about. And we've seen it, by the way, that speech was given in February of 25. I think over the last year, much of what I said has been proven to be true.
No, none of it. No, this isn't even remotely true. We still exist exactly the way we existed before. None of these things have been torn apart or changed. Trump can't even build a ballroom. He's so far from a king that one of the things he most wants to do, just build a freaking ballroom at the White House, he can't get it done because of the system that we have in place in this country. You can't argue that a man's a king if he can't build a ballroom. A quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
It's our friends over at Ghost Bed. I probably could have gotten a better night's sleep, and it's not because of my mattress. It's because poor Wick, he has medicine. He's got crazy allergies, and he got medicine for his ear infection. So he's been dealing with that. He does not like having eardrops, and he was a little sassy all night. But every time I lay down in my ghost bed, normally I would have to turn. You know, you toss and turn to get comfortable. And I literally lay down, and I'm just out. You just lay down in one position. It doesn't matter what position you lay on. Every way you lay on a ghost bed is comfortable because it's just a better engineered bed. That's the whole way and how they created them. They didn't just go out to make a mattress. They make engineered sleep systems because they think that these things are health equipment, which they are. Think about it. That's where you rest. That's where you heal. That's where you recover. And if you're constantly like overheating or tossing and turning to get comfortable, how is that accomplishing any of the things for which sleep was created? So you need to switch up your mattress because chances are that's what it is. In fact, most of the reasons why people are uncomfortable, it's because of their mattresses. Ghost Bed is a game changer. It's made to help with these exact issues, support, cooling, comfort, so you actually rest. And they let you try it for 101 nights in your home. And if you don't feel a difference, you just send it back risk-free. Visit ghostbed.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana, and they're offering you the lowest prices of the season, plus an extra 10% off site-wide. That's ghostbed.com/Dana, promo code Dana.
When Kohler, the global design leader in luxurious kitchen and bath products, came to me and said, "Martha, we need an ambassador for our timeless, elegant, durable cast iron products," I said, "I'm in. Now let me see the factory." Weeks later, I was suited up in coveralls and work boots, walking through their Kohler, Wisconsin cast iron foundry. I stood next to the molten iron furnace, saw the hand applying enamel, and touched the gorgeous finished products waiting to be sent out into the world. Since 1883, Kohler cast iron products have been forged and finished by the incredible craftspeople right in Kohler, Wisconsin. I'll tell you, I gained a newfound respect and appreciation for Kohler's cast iron craftsmanship. So now, I'm lending my discerning stamp of approval to my most beloved Kohler cast iron products for their durability, beauty, and timelessness. Shop my Kohler cast iron favorites curated on Kohler.com. Bring the warmth, character, and enduring style of these timeless products into your kitchens and bathrooms. As the Kohler cast iron ambassador, I say, long live cast iron.
One thing about the locker room, it's a mix of everything. Different races, religions, backgrounds, opinions, all of it. And yeah, you argue, you joke around, you disagree constantly, but when it actually matters, you've got each other's backs, no question. That's just being a good teammate. And honestly, that shouldn't stop when the game ends. But right now, hate is rising across communities in different ways. And Jewish communities are getting hit hard by it. And hate doesn't stay in one place. It spreads. So this isn't about agreeing on everything. It's just about showing up for people. The blue square is a simple way to do that. Just saying, yeah, I'm not cool with hate. Go to bluesquarealliance.org, grab one, share it. It's not complicated. Just be the kind of teammate you'd want in your corner.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Dana will be back tomorrow. Thrilled to be with you. Lots of stuff to talk about. Jasmine Crockett the failed Senate candidate in Texas, who's now running for a House seat again, is a nut job, according to a whole lot of people on the internet. She is basically adding to the conspiracy theory that some believe out there that what happened at the White House Correspondents' Dinner over the weekend was staged. Staged because it actually does benefit Trump in his argument as to why we need a ballroom. Obviously, I don't believe even remotely that this was staged. And I'll say this about any kind of conspiracy theory before I actually play this audio of Fox News reporting on what Crockett was saying online. I think that the best way to suss out the likelihood of any conspiracy theory, whatever you call it, even ones that wind up being true, which makes them no longer conspiracy theories, is the amount of things you have to do to make it make sense, to make it actually be a thing that could occur in our society. Occam's razor, the easiest solution or the easiest example explanation is usually the right one. For this to be real, the person who did this, who sent a manifesto to his family members, would have to, of course, be a paid participant who's willing to go to jail for the rest of his life. The family members who all say they have the manifesto have to be paid individuals. And the most important part of this scenario, other than the amount of people you need in on it, is that no one ever breaks and tells us the truth. The problem with that usually is that most things leak. We see the ridiculous amount of leaks that occur within this administration, the last administration. Human beings are really bad at keeping secrets. And the more people you involve in any way, shape, or form, the more likely the secret comes out. So by and large, I usually reject things where multiple people have to be performative in order to get us to a point where something that looks to be real and happened in society has to actually be fake. And I've been told I'm wrong about this a bunch. I've been told I'm naive and a moron from both sides of the aisle. I'm sure I'll get it from the left right now for saying it's ridiculous to think the White House attack was staged. But just rationally think about how many people are involved. One of my favorite examples I'll use that actually makes a whole lot of people on the left happy when I'm making this argument is people who believe like Biden was replaced by a different guy who was also terrible at stuff and whose brain didn't work. To be totally honest, anyone who believed the doppelganger theory that existed there, man, they swung and missed with the person they put in. I think Fetterman also had a doppelganger belief for a while, too. Fetterman, now someone who is very likely to say things that seem to be aligned more with the right than with the left. He's the willing Democrat to speak up and say the truth. But anyway, all those theories, oftentimes I reject them, or at least the likelihood of them, based on the amount of variables that have to be involved in order to succeed. I'm not saying it's impossible. It happens. A whole lot of people do get a whole lot of money to stay quiet about bad things that occur. But by and large, I reject it. Jasmine Crockett does not seem to be of the same belief as me, at least on this issue, because again, it proves Trump was right. And the thing the left hates the most is any moment that proves Trump was right, they have to come up with a way to discredit it however they can. Here's part of the discussion Fox News had about the crazy stuff Jasmine Crockett has been saying.
And here's Jasmine Crockett. She said this: has there ever been a president have this many close attempts on their life? Attempts in quotes. Maybe it's lax gun laws. Maybe it's lack of mental health funding. Or maybe it's fake. Who knows?
And a whole lot of us know, by the way. Many, many of us know that it is not, in fact, fake. That it is not what is going on. And that it's kind of ridiculous to say that. I don't know why people's brains are wired the way they are now, because it feels unique. I know people will say it's always existed, that the arrogance of some in our society has always been this way. People always thought they were right, certain people, about certain things, regardless of how much information you confront them with. But as I say that, I also think that the ability to curate our news more than ever and to get only certain sources blasted into our face, especially if you're on the left, and you pay attention to any mainstream media outlets now, when that seems to be a terrible decision that you're making, it makes you so much more likely to just blatantly reject anything that goes outside of that belief system, even something like this. President Trump has been proven right. We do need a ballroom. He is someone who keeps getting targeted. The left's rhetoric does appear to be ridiculously extreme and potentially inspiring people to attack him, who think that he's a rapist, a pedophile, a Nazi, whatever the words are that they use when they justify the attempt to kill someone or just kill a whole bunch of people. that would all have been in that room with Trump, administration officials, press. It didn't matter to the deranged gunman who tried to do it. But nonetheless, as I continue to say that, I think the most important aspect, the thing we need to most consider about this, is how many people refuse to have their brain altered. The things they know are true, no matter how much evidence to the contrary they are faced with, they refuse to back down. Those are the people who inspire the conspiracy theories out there. The Candace Owenses of the world, who think that Israel somehow is involved in killing Charlie Kirk. Otherwise, she's just lying, which is probably more likely to be true, and using all of it to gain a financial benefit, not to actually truly try to accuse Erica Kirk or Israel of the killing of Charlie. But these people just are so, brainwashed by themselves, or I guess society, that they can never accept the things that they're confronted with that prove definitively that they're wrong. Another thing out there that I thought was interesting, this was an interview with a member of Congress defending someone who said, let's kill a whole bunch of Republicans. You would think these are things that people wouldn't believe, that defending the Hassan Pikers of the world was easy for Democrats not to do. But Ro Khanna doesn't seem to understand that. He swung and missed when asked this question on Fox News.
Okay, here's Hassan Piker and some of the things he said.
If you cared about Medicare or Medicaid fraud, you would kill Rick Scott.
I'm pro stealing from big corporations because, you know, they steal quite a bit more from their own workers. Brian Thompson, as the United Healthcare CEO, was engaging in a tremendous amount of social murder. Virtually every American has a similar experience, a shared experience, where they have a loved one that spent their last days instead of spending them with their family, spending it on the phone, talking to their healthcare provider.
I mean, this is just some of the stuff that he said. He says the Hezbollah flag is dope. He likes Hamas better than Republicans. Landlords are MFers. And you go and sit down with him and you put your reputation on the line and you want everybody else to take a step back?
By the way, that's where the question started. And the answer is, I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't be anywhere near this person and the crazy things they say because they're inappropriate. They don't deserve to be propped up at all. I should have left him alone. Ro Khanna doesn't believe that.
Well, Brian, because I have said that Hamas is a terrorist organization, Hezbollah is a terrorist organization. I was one of the first people who condemned the shooting of the United Healthcare executive. But millions of people follow Hassan Piker. Why? Because he's speaking about some of the frustrations. He's speaking about the fact that people don't have health care in America. Well, there are a lot of people on the podcast world, et cetera, who say things that are outrageous or sensationalist. And I push back when you do that. But we have to understand the anger in this country of people who feel they can't buy a house, they can't afford gas, they can't have health care, they're upset at the system. It's one of the reasons Trump won twice, and we have to engage while condemning the violence. But so, if you look at, I never engage in approving of violence, approving of the incitement.
I never do any of that. I just sit around and hang out with these people and don't actually condemn them to their faces. I think that's the thing you most need. I'll be honest about this. I'm not someone that wants people to be silenced or deplatformed or told they're not allowed to talk to anybody. But I think when you're sitting in front of someone, you actually have to confront them to their face. You can't be friendly. You can't do interviews and conversations where you ignore all the stuff you disagree on, because that's where your credibility is shot so directly in the foot that you can't possibly recover from it. You resoundingly reject them. And not only do you reject them, you do it to their face. You tell them, hey, these are the things I don't like about the stuff you've been saying. There's a lot of versions of this being very successful in our society, something that we'd like to see more of. And honestly, a moment where I think a lot of people on both sides of the aisle would find a value in the discussion, even if they wouldn't all admit it. Because getting people that disagree with each other to sit in the same room or sit in front of microphones and tell each other to their faces why they're wrong about stuff is rare in our society. Compared to what it used to be. I think we're used to be more likely to do this or more likely to assume that we didn't agree on stuff and that was okay. Two things happen a lot in these discussions now. One, people go in assuming that if we do agree on something or disagree on something and I find that out, I'm allowed to completely disavow, walk away, remove myself from you whatsoever, never be around you again and hate you for whatever the disagreement is. That's obviously insane. But a lot of people seem to have that expectation. that you better agree with me on everything I think. Otherwise, you're the problem. It couldn't possibly be me and my ridiculous standard of how I live my life. And then the other thing is that, you know, sometimes you do just the nice version going along to getting along. And then after you're done, and I think even Tucker Carlson has been accused of this a lot recently, along with all the anti-Trump stuff he's randomly been saying now, which is just very odd. But Tucker Carlson has been accused a lot of getting the good interview with the interesting person and not challenging them at all. And there's something that's uniquely cowardly in that sort of thing. And I think that's really at the heart of the question to Ro Khanna is, if you're going to sit down and have conversations with people like Hassan Piker, why aren't you actually going to reject them to their face as much as you might claim that you're rejecting them after you walk out of the interview in private, or, you know, disagree with them publicly by saying your belief on one issue versus their belief on one issue without actually doing it in person, where it might mean more, where it might have more value. I said this, I think, last time I filled in on this show. I'll say it again. I work at a radio station in Houston. I do an afternoon show there from 6 to 7 o'clock as people are driving home in one of the biggest cities in the country. And KSEV Radio, the place that I do my show, encourages people of the opposite side to call in. Many of the hosts, including myself, take calls from the opposite side of the political aisle. And we do that at that station on a local level. Not that you should do that on a national level, but we do it on a local level because we think it adds value to the things that you hear and the things that you think about. And I don't need to tell you what the other side thinks. Someone else can do that, and then I can blatantly disagree with them. And I actually enjoy that more than I thought I would. Just getting to have these conversations with people that definitely don't think like I think. We don't get a whole lot of calls, but we get enough that you have that conversation occasionally. And I do think that's missing in a lot of these media places, where you're not hearing that side yell its thing out loud, and then you tell them why they're wrong. That's the part that I think is most missing. Not the thing where people yout and shell their opinion, but the part where you actually decide to react to that opinion by giving them the facts that prove that they're a moron. All right, quick break. A little bit more coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Do you know what drives women crazy about most makeup? It doesn't make you look like you. It makes you look overdone, like you're wearing a mask. Women are so fed up with products that cake on and make you look less like yourself. And that is why so many are reaching for Jones Road Beauty's Miracle Balm. It's super simple. You just warm it up with your fingertips. You tap it on your cheeks, your lips, even your eyelids, and you're done. It looks like your skin. Your skin looks like your skin, just better. And it replaces everything. Highlighter, bronzer, your blush, your lip tint. One jar. That's it. No brushes. No 20 frillion step influencer routine. This is what you use when real life is happening. Busy mornings and travel and post-workout, when you just want to look put together without looking like you're trying too hard. And it feels like, you know, lightweight, clean, and easy. So for a limited time, you can get a free shimmer face oil with your first purchase using code Dana. Go to jonesroadbeauty.com and use code Dana. So that's a free shimmer face oil with your first purchase by visiting jonesroadbeauty.com, use code Dana, and when they ask you where you heard about it, tell them I sent you.
When Kohler, the global design leader in luxurious kitchen and bath products, came to me and said, "Martha, we need an ambassador for our timeless, elegant, durable cast iron products." I said, "I'm in. Now let me see the factory." Weeks later, I was suited up in coveralls and work boots, walking through their Kohler, Wisconsin cast iron foundry. I stood next to the molten iron furnace, saw the hand applying enamel, and touched the gorgeous finished products waiting to be sent out into the world. Since 1883, Kohler cast iron products have been forged and finished by the incredible craftspeople right in Kohler, Wisconsin. I'll tell you, I gained a newfound respect and appreciation for Kohler's cast iron craftsmanship. So now, I'm lending my discerning stamp of approval to my most beloved Kohler cast iron products for their durability, beauty, and timelessness. Shop my Kohler cast iron favorites curated on Kohler.com. Bring the warmth, character, and enduring style of these timeless products into your kitchens and bathrooms. As the Kohler Cast Iron Ambassador, I say, long live cast iron.
One thing about the locker room, it's a mix of everything. Different races, religions, backgrounds, opinions, all of it. And yeah, you argue, you joke around, you disagree constantly. But when it actually matters, you've got each other's backs. No question. That's just being a good teammate. And honestly, that shouldn't stop when the game ends. But right now, hate is rising across communities in different ways. And Jewish communities are getting hit hard by it. And hate doesn't stay in one place. It spreads. So this isn't about agreeing on everything. It's just about showing up for people. The blue square is a simple way to do that. Just saying, yeah, I'm not cool with hate. Go to bluesquarealliance.org, grab one, share it. It's not complicated. Just be the kind of teammate you'd want in your corner.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. It's time for a quick five on the Dana Show, D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X and Twitter. Great ways to stay connected to her. Someone finally ended the long run of the Jeopardy guy who's been winning. Jamie Ding, I think, is the name of the person. I don't watch Jeopardy, but I do have this audio of someone defeating this long-running winner. I figured, why not play this? It seems like some people think this is news. Again, I'm not really a fan of the show, but here we go.
How much do you want to risk on plays and playwrights?
7,600.
Okay, another true daily double. You'll have 15,200 if you're right. The title object of this Oscar Wilde play is both a fashionable accessory and a mark of femininity.
What is Lady Windermere's fan?
That is correct, yes. Taking you to 15,200.
I got to be honest, I'm already bored. I got like 20 more seconds of this clip, and I'm just going to go ahead and skip it. But that's the winning answer, I think, to the guy who beat Jamie Ding, who took him down, now is the champion on that show that I barely ever watched. I remember watching Jeopardy as a kid with my grandmother. That was the person who liked it the most. Grandpa would be watching the war movies, and then at some point, Grandma would come in the living room and be like, no. We got to switch over to Jeopardy. And then we'd sit there and watch Jeopardy. That's my only Jeopardy memory. And I'm sharing it with you now for some reason. Other things out there, $50 movie tickets happened for the first time. I think some theaters were selling Dune 3 IMAX tickets, and they rose to $50 in some places. That's insane. Don't pay that. Don't go to that. I use Game Time to go to Major League Baseball games. It's an app. It allows you to buy tickets shortly before the game starts. I paid last money for most of the tickets I used to go see the Yankees play the Astros than for this ridiculous one seat at a movie. It's just not worth it, man. You can do more with your money is what I'm saying. So $50 movie tickets, they sound horrible. And then finally, I saw this. Trivia night might not be doing as well in bars as it used to do. Mostly cell phones and cheaters are to blame for that. So bars are coming up with a new thing, something that can't be gamed by technology. The thing they think you might want to show up to a bar and do, a new drawing. That's right. Somebody shows up that's a model. They're naked and everybody would draw them and that somehow is going to be okay. I don't know by who. I feel like this is immediately going to be raided by some sort of police and it's definitely not going to be a good thing. Here's the thing I'll say about this to the models of the world that might want to work this event. The people who want to show up to a bar naked. There is no worse place in the world to be without clothing, I think. A top five, it's got to be a bar. You don't want to go there, especially a bar that's doing stuff like trivia night to bring in the clientele because maybe they're not getting as many people as they want Monday through Friday and only are really a weekend bar. If they're doing a Tuesday night nude painting or nude drawing class, this is not a place you want to be and certainly not a place you want to be consuming alcohol. This is just my assumption. But you go out there, you live your own life, you do whatever you want. And good luck to all involved for any place that does this and the police that I said inevitably probably raid some of these facilities. All right, quick break. A lot coming up. Greg Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
As we move, our partners that bring you the program, it's the folks over at Super Beats, now Zero Sugar. You guys are familiar with Super Beats, founded out of the UT Health Science Center, built on real cardiovascular research around blood flow and nitric oxide. And it's all about heart health, healthy blood pressure, circulation, daily energy, all depends on that healthy blood flow. Well, now, if you've ever wondered, you can get the Super Beats Heart Chews now with Zero Sugar. pomegranate berry flavor and chocolate flavor that you would not actually think has zero sugar, but it does. No added sugar, no artificial sweeteners. None of the Super Beets chews have any kinds of stimulant, caffeine, etc. And it's built on the same science-led heart health support. Right? Just a daily chew that you'll actually look forward to taking. So support your heart health with the new Super Beets Heart Chews, zero sugar. And you can get them at human.com/Dana. Buy two, get one free, and find out how to get a free 30-day supply. That's human.com/Dana.
When Kohler, the global design leader in luxurious kitchen and bath products, came to me and said, Martha, we need an ambassador for our timeless, elegant, durable cast iron products. I said, I'm in. Now let me see the factory. Weeks later, I was suited up in coveralls and work boots, walking through their Kohler, Wisconsin cast iron foundry. I stood next to the molten iron furnace, saw the hand applying enamel, and touched the gorgeous finished products waiting to be sent out into the world. Since 1883, Kohler cast iron products have been forged and finished by the incredible craftspeople right in Kohler, Wisconsin. I'll tell you, I gained a newfound respect and appreciation for Kohler's cast iron craftsmanship. So now, I'm lending my discerning stamp of approval to my most beloved Kohler cast iron products for their durability, beauty, and timelessness. Shop my Kohler cast iron favorites curated on Kohler.com. Bring the warmth, character, and enduring style of these timeless products into your kitchens and bathrooms. As the Kohler cast iron ambassador, I say, long live cast iron.
One thing about the locker room, it's a mix of everything. Different races, religions, backgrounds, opinions, all of it. And yeah, you argue, you joke around, you disagree constantly, but when it actually matters, you've got each other's backs, no question. That's just being a good teammate. And honestly, that shouldn't stop when the game ends. But right now, hate is rising across communities in different ways. And Jewish communities are getting hit hard by it. And hate doesn't stay in one place. It spreads. So this isn't about agreeing on everything. It's just about showing up for people. The blue square is a simple way to do that. Just saying, yeah, I'm not cool with hate. Go to bluesquarealliance.org, grab one, share it. It's not complicated. Just be the kind of teammate you'd want in your corner.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A little bit left to talk about. Not a lot of time left to do it. If you're flying with young kids, some experts say that you should board the plane last, regardless of where you're supposed to board the plane. This is to make things easier on the kids, getting on the plane, getting to their seat, and then calming them down, and also on everybody else in front of you. I don't know if this works, depending on how many people are boarding with how many young children all at the same time, but I don't hate it as a plan. I don't hate a lot of things where people say that the parent should care about everybody else around them who doesn't have kids, and then also make sure that their kids are doing okay in the best of ways. This does seem like a good thing. To not annoy someone, especially if your kids don't really want to get on the plane as you're getting on together. And they're maybe trying to do everything they can to stop that, delay the process even a little bit. That, I don't hate it. Some people were calling it pre-boarding privilege or a trap or something. I don't think it's that big of a deal. It's up to you. If you want to do it and you think you're being considerate to others, great. If you want to board when you're allowed to board, go ahead and live that life, baby. You do it whatever way you want. Another thing I saw out there that I thought was pretty funny, Gen Z says that their brains are rotting from all the social media that they're using. So they're finding unique ways to distract themselves from wanting to be on their phone and scrolling all these apps. They call them grandma activities. Essentially, it's arts and crafts. It's crocheting. It's all kinds of things like that that they would think that grandmas used to do back in the day or even still might do now. I don't know how your grandma is with her arts and craft behaviors, but nonetheless, a lot of young people say that this is something that really helps them not be on social media more. I think that just turning off the phone and leaving it away from you, which is easier said than done, regardless of what you do, like even watching TV without your phone is still not being on your phone. So I think that might be kind of a win, maybe more of a hollow win because of the screen you're replacing it with and something a little bit better than that. But nonetheless, I thought that was pretty interesting that grandma activities spiked to the top of some viral searches too, as people are wondering what things they should be doing to replace the things that they do now. I would not look into what they do in the nursing homes. It's not all going to be the same sort of stuff. One final thing that I saw out there that I thought was interesting. The IRS paid out $296 billion in refunds this year. That is up 17% from last year. Obviously, any of the different political messaging that said that Trump had created opportunities for more refunds, for more like no tax on tips, all of that kind of stuff has actually paid out. The average refund was up to $3,275, which is up $333 from last year as well. So people are getting more of their money back. Taxes are doing less damage to most of us. The theft that is taxes, I'm one of those people who really does believe that, especially now that I live in a state that has no state taxes, and it's wonderful living in Texas and dealing with one less thing than when you were in Illinois around that time, when I was in Illinois around this time of the year. But yes, very good news, very positive news. Seems to be the kind of thing that could be highlighted and celebrated, although I'm sure it's going to be ignored a whole lot more places. And honestly, it gets us closer to that point, and I don't mean to close in a political thought, but I can't help it, where maybe tariffs are the reality for how we gain income as a country, and it's not through you and me. I know we're still paying that money because stuff gets more expensive. I get it. I get all the rules there. Although if you also have things created in this country that are cheaper, maybe you can get around paying some of those quote-unquote taxes that tariffs might inflict on you via the cost of stuff. And then also, they don't take my money. I don't have to do anything at all. I love that idea. Trump has teased that before as the design of tariffs, and it did used to be how we did things in this country. Let's get back to that. See you later. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
I'm Rhett Rasmussen of besthotgrill.com/hot. We make the Solaire infrared grills, which are perfect for today's busy lifestyles. You're probably in your car right now wondering what you'll have for dinner tonight. Imagine that when you get home, your Solaire infrared grill will be at 1,000 degrees in just 3 minutes. The high heat locks in the juices and flavor and grills faster, so that in a matter of minutes, you could be sitting down to a great tasting grilled dinner any and every night of the week. Your smoker or low-slow barbecue is great for the weekend, but the hot, fast speed and convenience of Solaire infrared grills make them your everyday go-to grill. And they aren't just for searing steaks. Solaire infrared grills also enhance fish, chicken, burgers, pork, shrimp, veggies, and fruit. Virtually everything your family enjoys. Learn more about these amazing USA-made grills at besthotgrill.com/hot. That's Solaire infrared grills at besthotgrill.com/hot.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
When Kohler, global design leader in luxurious kitchen and bath products, asked me to be their ambassador for timeless, elegant, durable cast iron, I said, I'm in. Soon after, I was in their Kohler, Wisconsin foundry, watching molten iron poured, enamel applied by hand, and the beautiful finished pieces ready to ship. Since 1883, Kohler cast iron has been crafted by incredible artisans, and seeing it firsthand gave me a whole new appreciation for their craftsmanship. Now, I am proud to lend my stamp of approval to my favorite Kohler cast iron products for their durability, beauty, and enduring style. Shop my curated picks at Kohler.com. As the Kohler cast iron ambassador, I say, long live cast iron.